Welcome to the Pause Purpose Play podcast with me, clinical psychologist Michaela Thomas. This podcast is for you if you're an ambitious working woman wanting to create more impact in the world with less impact on yourself. This is where we let go of the pressure of perfection for more joy, compassion, and connection in your life so you can burn bright, not burn out. Welcome back to the Pause Purpose Play podcast with me, your host, Michaela Thomas. This is part three of my experience in Vietnam and my spacious adventure. And this week is going to be about the returning. So I call this one the insights piece. And it's really difficult to keep hold of those insights if you are landing straight back into the rat race. Maybe then kind of undoing all the insights you had when you were away or the new habits, the patterns. So in this episode, we're going to talk a bit about how we return after any sort of insightful or useful experience or any pocket of rest or pausing you've had away. So I also want to tell you about something very exciting. I've been nominated for an award. So listen along to this episode to hear more about that and how you can vote for me. It's very, very exciting. I will tell you a bit more about that in a minute. So this episode is number three out of a series of four. And I've been so inspired by the feedback you've given me around my spacious adventure that I've actually decided to create a challenge around this. And I don't mean challenge in a push, push, push. Let's, you know, all now hustle to have a spacious adventure, because that kind of defeats the point. Now, I created a challenge because I wanted to be able to have this opportunity to work with as many of you as possible in a free way, to make it accessible to all of you who listen to my podcast, all of you following my Instagram, LinkedIn, all of you reading my email newsletters, to be able to just think of how can you have a spacious adventure for yourself. So listen along, and I'm going to tell you more about this four-day challenge in a minute, what we're going to do. But for now, let's think about what we're going to do in the episode before I get ahead of myself too much. I wanted to talk you through the post-adventure experience, the post-adventure blues that can come up, and how to reframe those feelings of sadness, loss, as maybe thinking of the gratitude side of having had this experience, but also making space for all other feelings. It's not either or. It's not a pressure to feel ultimately super happy and only happy now that you've returned back home. It's much more about having a compassionate view and a compassionate reframe for any feelings to show up. Of course, it's going to be understandable if you come home and feel a little bit empty now that you've had this luscious experience away. It may be your first night away from the kids, or maybe it be a conference you went to for a few days where you felt lit up at all the work stuff you were doing, and then you're coming straight back home into, you know, wearing your toddler uniform, which is like your jumper full of stains, or coming straight back home into, you know, teenagers slamming doors, or whatever it might be going on in your household. So I just wanted to start with that little compassion permission slip, if you may. It's very understandable if you, after you've had a spacious experience, if you've had time for you, then returning home back into the chaos, it's understandable and completely human if you then have a whole host of emotions showing up, maybe feeling like you want to run away and join the circus, or just pack your bags for another experience away. Having those feelings upon return doesn't mean that the trip away was not worthwhile or was wasted. It's a natural and understandable feeling of loss and longing and yearning for something that was good. But if it felt like that all the time, you know, holidays is not really a reality. We can't constantly live as if on holiday, because then we would have to start making money on holiday, and that takes away some of the pressures that are, you know, not there for a holiday. So being clear on that, the holiday time away is obviously going to feel more spacious in some ways, making it clear that it's understandable to feel a sense of loss or sadness when you come back home, and equally making space for the gratitude. Having had that time away on your own spacious adventure can feel really fulfilling and worthwhile. So we're not here for the toxic positivity, like I usually say. We're here for the full picture. We're here for the, it's human and normal and real to feel. And whatever you feel when you return home from a few hours away, from a solo walk around the block, from an overnight trip to a conference, from 11 days in Vietnam, whatever you feel, it's okay. Because we do need to name it to tame it. If you don't put words to those feelings and tell yourself how understandable it is that you have those very human feelings, the feelings will linger. So I'm full of these little cliches today, but you need to name it to tame it, and you need to feel it to let your body to move through it, because it's real to feel, and you need to name it to tame it, and what you resist will persist. So if I resist this sense of, actually, I feel really guilty that I have returned home, and although I longed for the kids, I also feel like, oh my God, could I just leave again? If you've had that feeling, that's very normal, right? So whatever you're feeling, it's understandable. So it's about then making sense of that. Compassion essentially has two parts, the sense making and the action taking. So the sense-making part is having an insight with clarity, with a caring commitment towards yourself, that it's understandable that I feel this way. No wonder I feel a bit lost or sad or post-holiday blues when I return back home and the kids are giving me a hard time, or I then certainly have to cook my own meals again and stack the dishwasher. Of course, it's understandable. So that's the sense making. I'm making sense of my feelings. The second part of compassion, the action taking, is then much more about, what do I now do with these feelings that I've noticed? What do I do to be kind to myself, to give myself some grace for whatever I'm feeling? That might be the simple as you say it to yourself. You know, it's understandable that I've just walk through the door again. It's utter chaos in here. It's understandable that I might feel like running away. Doesn't mean I'm going to. I can then notice that feeling and not resist it, because then it will persist, and notice it and just allow it to be there. It tends to subside. Paradoxically, when we name it, we tame it. Paradoxically, when you then say to yourself, you know what? Don't be so hard on yourself for that. It's understandable. You've just been away on an amazing adventure where you could dictate exactly everything. You could decide when you got out of bed, what you ate for lunch, dinner, and there was no fussiness. There was nobody who said, I don't want to eat that. And you didn't have to negotiate with anyone about where you would go and when you would get to that place. Of course, then returning back home into demand and responsibility is hard work. So can you hear what I'm doing there? Is that I'm talking to myself with a little bit more kindness rather than a harsh edge to it, which we so often do when we've lived a life full of self-criticism. So instead of beating myself up for whatever I'm feeling on the return after my spacious adventure, I give myself the same kindness I would do for a friend. If she told me that she'd been away or come back into the house and the kids were, you know, being monsters, understandably so, I would not say to her, how dare you feel anything but gratitude for having your kids. I would not say, why are you not happier to see your kids? And like, why aren't you 100% happy to see your kids? Because why did you even have kids if you're not feeling like you just want to throw yourself at them after you've been away? Like, how very dare you? What a really crappy mum you are. I would never say that to my friend. I would say, oh, I get it. You know, you're jet lagged, you're tired, you've traveled for like 12 hours. Of course, it's going to be a bit heavy to come back home. They've missed you and they're letting it all release in front of you. You know, just put a pizza in the oven, put the TV on, watch a film, snuggle up together and just be. Like, the laundry and all that, that can wait. Do it later. Just surrender into that. Just be with them and be with yourself. Have an early night, you know, take it easy for a few days at work afterwards. So that brings me to my next point, which is how I ease back in to work when I've been away, right? Lots of the high-striving, ambitious working women I support would work super late the night before they fly away somewhere or pack the kids in the car or whatever. Before they go on a holiday, they would work super late to get everything done. They would struggle to check their emails while they're away, and they would feel like they have to hit the ground running when they come back home again because they've been away for a week or two or a few days even, and then there's so much to do to catch up on. And I was really conscious that I didn't want to undo my experience of being away and having this respite, having the rest, having the restoration, having the recovery, having the spacious adventure. So I was very conscious of that and had conversations with my operations manager when I was returning, saying I, you know, wasn't planning to work very much and I was sort of doing bits and pieces, easing back in slowly. And that is really important as a permission piece as well. Giving yourself the grace to land afterwards, not just land physically with the plane, but land back into your life. If you've done something stretchy or spaciously adventurous, then you need that time to process, to sit with the insights. Like I say inside Burn Bright, let it percolate, right? I gave myself no pressure to come home and immediately like develop all the pictures I've taken and like write it into the travel log. And yeah, my memory will fade a bit. So I've done lots of like little bits and pieces as I was going through the experiences on the journey so that I could give myself the grace when I come home to not have a pressure around it, not have an achievement or a must around it. So I think that's really important to think about who you want to be when you return back home, to not let all the experiences and insights wash away, but to let them sit there and linger for a bit longer. In mindfulness practice, we call that savoring. Really almost like tasting the experience, like you would savor, you know, a really good ice cream or, you know, a chocolate that you would sort of just let wash around in your mouth and feeling all the notes of flavor in it. How can you savor the trip you've had away or your experience or your insights? You know, is it going to be helpful to look back at some of those photos without the pressure to, you know, produce the perfect travel journal, but more as like a little bit of post-holiday glow, much like do you see maybe some signs of a tan, or maybe you still find some sand in your suitcase? Are there things you can savor when you come home from a good experience, even if that is you've gone to the yoga class or you've gone out for a coffee with a friend and feel really lit up? Like, how do you savor that when you come home? And it can be as easy as closing your eyes for a moment and just letting the experience sit with you. Visualizing, if you have the ability to visualize, not everyone does. Visualizing in your mind's eye, seeing the sights, but maybe visual imagery isn't your vibe, and then it's more about a felt sense that you sit there feeling the sand through your toes on the beach, that kind of freedom you feel with wind in your hair, watching the ocean roll in. As you can hear, even my voice starts to settle down a bit. I start to speak more slowly because I'm settling into my nervous system. It's like the this is kind of nice feeling that we have from our soothing system. Less of the, woohoo, this is amazing, I can't believe all the experiences I had, of the drive system, which is exhilarating, exciting, joyous. The soothing system is where we feel safe. And breathe. This is why coming home and thinking about making space in your day-to-day life for the same type of feeling is really important. Because you won't necessarily remember all the details of what you did on your trip away, but you will remember how you felt. And that's the bit we want to help you bring back home again with you. What practices can you do at home that will help you feel in a similar way to how you felt when you were away? So, yeah, I get it. It's going to be a bit unrealistic for me to endeavor to have sunset yoga practices overlooking rice paddies when I come back home to the rainy UK. It's not really going to work out, is it? But I can make space for having more regular yoga practice. Whenever I step away somewhere and I have an experience, I realize what I need more of. When we go on holiday, we have the time to put these practices in. How do I keep it when I come home? Like my muse meditation or yoga practice or whatever it is. And I've been really making sure that I've held on to as much as I could. I really enjoyed the foot massage aspect of going to Vietnam. You know, you can find like massage parlors like everywhere. So I bought myself my husband bought me a really nice foot scrub and a foot cream. So I'll be like, oh, actually I can have a little bit of that when I come home. Bringing home a scent with you. When I think of Thailand, I think of lemongrass. So I have that from when I've been on compassion retreats in Thailand. So I put a bit of the lemongrass moisturizer on when I want to feel like, that's kind of nice. That's the felt sense we have from a memory. And scent is very linked to that. So when you go away, also think about what you will return home to, which version of you will return home, and how you want to keep those practices and insights going when you come home in a not perfect, but good enough way, in a realistic, pragmatic version of that holiday experience. What is it that you bring down? What is it you bring home with you that is kind of reduced down into a practical thing you can fit in your life? And making sure that you do practices that help you be that version of you. I talked about that before, about how the compassionate version of me is sometimes very far away, and some days she's quite easy to step into. It's easy to step into that when I'm rested and on holiday and wait for the kids for a bit and get to kind of recover. But I've also really made sure that I've continued to do things that helps me be more like that compassionate version at home. And that included things like having the awareness and the self-insight to know that I would need a little bit of space between landing back in the UK and picking up the kids. So I planned a morning flight, as in an evening flight from Vietnam that landed in the morning, knowing that I would then pick up the children after school and childcare in the afternoon. So I would have all day to travel home, not have to be stressed about any potential flight delays. And I can give myself the space and the time to process a bit, you know, sit down at home, eat something in peace. And then when I've actually picked them up, I was that version of me that I am on a really good day. That takes some conscious stepping into. Now, for anyone who thinks this sounds a bit arsehole-y, keep in mind that I've been practicing these things over many, many years, right? This is not an overnight thing. It takes time to establish compassionate foundations and practice these things. And yes, I do get it wrong. Obviously, the jet-lagged version of me is not as nice as the rested version of me. But if you want help in practicing this, this is exactly why I set up this challenge. So on the 19th of March, for 4 days, we're going to come together and experience for free completely inside a private Facebook group that you get access to if you sign up on the page I'm going to drop into the show notes, where you can get a little bit more help to build a spacious year for you. So your spacious year will look very different to mine. And I'm not saying that a trip solo to Vietnam is the only way to have a spacious adventure. This challenge that we're going to do for 4 days together will help you use the pause, purpose, play framework to give yourself that permission to have more spaciousness and adventure on your terms. So head over to thethomasconnection.co.uk/spacious year. And then you can sign up to the challenge for free. You can follow along with these short trainings I'm going to do, like 20 minutes a day. You can catch up on all of them in one go if you prefer. You can follow along every day and you will get a little bit of a task to do every day. A mini thing to move the needle forward, a mini thing to help you make some progress, not to be having a complete overhaul all in one go, but to feel a little bit lighter, a little bit more spacious, and to show you that maybe it's possible. Maybe you can dream up a spacious adventure, and then maybe you can take some action towards that. So sign up. We start on the 19th of March. Go to thethomasconnection.co.uk/spacious year. Not space year, spacious year. I'll put it in the show notes so you can make sure you catch the spelling as well. Now, lastly, I want to mention the thing that I said in the beginning, that I've been nominated for an award, right? So this is the Inspirational Modern Woman of the Year Award. And this is a huge win for me in terms of mental health awareness and neurodiversity, as I am an ADHD diagnosed clinical psychologist specializing in perfectionism, compassion, burnout, and ADHD. To be able to get a platform to talk about that, that is really, really important. So regardless if I win or not, to be nominated for the work I do, it's just, I couldn't be more grateful to the amazing Burn Bright ladies who nominated me. And I also wanted to bring up that it's not ever all or nothing. It's either or. I'm very grateful that I'm being nominated. I feel very proud of my achievements. And it's bringing up exactly the same imposter voices and inner criticism as the clients I support. So thoughts I'm noticing is, I'm not good enough to be nominated. Or I'm not as successful as those other businesswomen. Or don't boast or be too big for your boots. Just be normal for once. Don't have to be so extra. And you can't ask people to vote for you. It's really conceited. So I noticed these thoughts. And despite being a best-selling author, the host of this top 2% award-winning podcast, and literally saving life, despite that, I noticed these thoughts. Because this is what women do. We hide ourselves and play small because of the pressures placed on us by the patriarchy. This inner critical voice that we have pisses on our parades, quite literally. Even when something great happens, the inner critic can come out and have a field day about it. So I aim to attend these awards and the ceremony. I've got my ticket and I'm going to wear my rainbow coloured dress. I'm very excited about that because I can then represent the neurodiversity community regardless if I win or not. And I am going to be a little bit extra, but that's kind of my vibe now, isn't it? Other people are probably going to come in, you know, evening gowns from Coast or something. And I'm going to wear a 1950s neurodiversity dress in rainbow colours. And I'm going to do that because I'm allowing myself the permission to be a little bit extra. So please vote and support me in this journey. It's bringing up all the feels for me. The thought of being center of attention makes my skin crawl. And I'm doing it anyway, right? Because next week I'm going to talk all about the courage piece. I'm going to talk to you about courage over confidence and how we need to try things even when we're not sure it's going to work, because otherwise we'll never learn that we are strong enough. So stay tuned for the next and last bit of the Spacious Adventure series and vote for me on modernwoman.co/award-vote. That's modernwoman.co/award-vote. And I'll put that in the show notes as well. You'll see it on my socials and I'm sure I'll send out an email as well. So if you're not on my mailing list, then, you know, make sure to get on there. I am really looking forward to talking to you again next week with the last piece of the Spacious Adventure series. And until then, do take care of yourself. Thank you so much for listening to the end of this episode of the Pause, Purpose, Play podcast with me, Michaela Thomas. If you found this episode helpful, make sure that you hit that follow or subscribe button to not miss the next episode. Tell other people about this podcast, because together we can change the world and be more kind, caring, and compassionate to ourselves as well as other people. And as always, do take care of yourself. Until I see you next week.